Citizens Advisory Traffic Commission meeting for March 13th. Here, we'll start out with welcome and introductions. I'm Nick Cantwine. I'm the chair for CATC.
Ken Adams.
Cheryl Hummon. This is my very first meeting. Thank you.
Welcome.
I'm Jason Allen. This is also my first meeting.
I'm John Latimer. It's not my first meeting.
I'm Kevin Hotman. I'm the city traffic engineer.
And my name is Helena Nahar. I'm executive assistant to the public works director.
Nate Lemin.
All right, okay. Well, I'm going to say my name, Kelly Richardson, staff assistant.
And then when we appoint the new members, are we just introducing them or do we need to?
Yeah, I think Tony's talked to you guys about how this runs, but since there's so many people here, I'll do a quick kind of introduction and kind of let everybody know what CATC does and how we kind of work the meeting.
All right. Second item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda for today's meeting. Does anyone have any additions or issues with the agenda?
I'll move approval.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Agenda approved. And then the approval of the December 13th minutes. Special meeting.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Minutes approved. And then item number 4, public hearing.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for coming. I appreciate it's been a while since we've had a actual public hearing that isn't an information session. So I appreciate all you guys coming. So the purpose of Citizens Advisory Traffic Commission, called CATC for short, this always happens. So
I'll be right back.
Why are they not turning on?
Timed.
They got to do it outside.
Yeah. Oh.
It happens every time.
It's the fire.
Always happens. So sorry about that. So the Citizen Advisory Traffic Commission is a group of citizens that are tasked with kind of hearing and making recommendations to the Public Works Director on controversial traffic issues. So what happens is staff, over the course of a day, weeks, months, we get lots of questions or complaints or concerns about different traffic issues, parking, traffic safety, speeding, all these things. And as we work to resolve them and make, you know, and do certain things out in the field, every once in a while, a request. We'll try to post a lot of them if we're going to move forward with something. In your area, the yield sign was recently done, and I posted that. We had no comments, and we did that. So the request comes in. We post it for comments. If there's no opposition, we just do what the request is. If there is opposition, then we have a Citizen Advisory Traffic Commission to make a recommendation for, you know, do they accept it, do they not accept the request, or do they change it? So that's part of the group. There is the ability for the Citizen Advisory Traffic Commission to make a recommendation that is different than what is requested or what is, requested. So, for instance, in this case, there's some specific hours, so there's, you know, CATC could change those hours based on what they hear here or make a recommendation to support it or deny it. I appreciate everybody coming because I know everybody has their busy schedules, and I'm glad you're here. That's what we want. I mean, we want to do the right thing that supports what the neighbors want to do and what's going on. So So thank you for coming. So the issue tonight is I had a request to time restrict the pedestrian path, which is right here, Sunburst Terrace to Ptarmigan, to help with issues of noise, and they asked if they were, trying to consider ways of to reduce noise at night, dog noise, and so this was one of the suggestions, and so I said, well, we can see how that goes, and so we posted it, and now we're here to look at that. So the request was to post the pathway closed between, I think it was 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., or 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And it would not be physically blocked off, because there's just not a way of doing that. And it would just be more of a courtesy, so it wouldn't restrict people from doing it, walking the path, but it's just trying to reduce the amount of traffic on it at night to kind of help with the issues of noise and that stuff. So that's why we're here. Yes?
Who establishes the pathway? Does the city do that?
The pathway was established when this area was subdivided. So when this, and I think it was done in a couple of, from when I looked at back at the plat, this part of the neighborhood was developed first, and then this was the second phase later. And because there was no street connections per se, that a path was put in just to let the neighbors be able to connect a little bit easier than having to go so far out of the way. So it's a public city path.
And that street up there wasn't close enough to?
Well, there's not a lot here, so yeah. I mean, I think this was where the path was decided. It could have been, someplace else, but that just happened to be where it was planted out.
Is it fenced?
Pardon?
Is it fenced off?
Yes.
Both sides.
Is it? By the property owner.
Yeah.
At least on the Ptarmigan end, we moved in 96. There were brick pillars and then 4x4 rails from about the creek, which is about the middle portion of the sidewalk towards Ptarmigan. There were 8-10 foot 4x4 rails, 3 or 4 from each pillar to the next pillar. There was another set, etc.
What does it look like now?
Solid board.
Well, on our side, we used those pillars because they were on our property and put fence up between the pillars, took the rails out. Part of that was driven by the fact that there were ground ants that eat wood, and they had eaten through a number of the rails. They're actually doing that on the other side from us, the other house on the Ptarmigan end across from us. They've eaten through a number of their rails. You can't see the rails from this photo.
Yeah, this is the south end.
On the south side, it's all chain link fence.
Okay. Yeah, on both sides.
Essentially, each property owner has their own fence. So there's not a public, it's not publicly fenced. Each property owner has their own fence decision, so there's different fences.
Yeah, generally it's just an easement through there, and then the property owners do whatever they want for privacy or...
Who maintains the bridge?
It looks real nice through there, too.
Yeah. It would be city.
Like city does.
Oh, okay. That's a fairly recent photo. What else?
Yeah, so this is the Ptarmigan north end.
Okay. Yeah, so those are the 4x4 rails on the left is an example. Those were originally there. They started back in 96, and then my house is on the right, and we took them out because they were rotting and wanted to do something privacy and a little better looking than that.
One thing I did forget to do was, so the process for it is staff usually gives their staff report, and we're fine. And then Katsy asks questions, and then we give the members of the public a chance to ask questions or to comment on what they think.
You looked at me, so I thought.
No, you're fine. That's my fault. It's been a while, and I should have kind of helped with the rules because I have new members, and I forgot to, so you guys are fine.
Who's responsible for the maintenance of this right of way? Is it Public Works?
Yes.
Does this fall under a sidewalk or?
I believe so.
I'm a neighbor. I've never seen anybody out there. We're on one side. We try and maintain it the best we can for the neighborhood.
So you've never seen anyone from the city go by?
Only thing I've seen the city ever do is replace the bridge.
Yeah. Right now, the city is trying to maintain sidewalks, and this is a fairly newer area, so a lot of our sidewalk issues are more downtown. And eventually, we're working our way out. So, if there's a complaint about a lifting sidewalk, Public Works Dispatch is the contact to make. Yes.
So I understand that there's not going to be any kind of mechanical barrier.
Correct.
Of any kind. But does posting the hours of closure of the path create a violation of some kind if somebody uses that path during off hours?
Technically, it will be a violation.
A fine?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
The likelihood of police enforcing it is fairly small.
We have several
right now, so yeah, I mean, if they got a lot of calls and they were there.
So it would be inappropriate for the neighbors to form vigilante and start shooting.
That would be preferred not to.
The kids on bicycles.
Yeah, it would be, it would be an infraction. I don't know how police would treat it if they would just say, hey you're not supposed to do this. If they were actually.
But the potential is there for a fine to be levied.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it would be a regulatory sign.
Looking at this, this is the view from the
Ptarmigan.
From Ptarmigan.
Yeah, looking.
Where would the sign go in this, looking at this picture?
We'd probably put it right here.
And would it be about the same size as that? Like, what size would it be?
It would probably be about that size. Be 12 by 18 or 18 by 24. So this is probably a 12 by 18. I'm not sure what it says. You guys probably know.
Neighborhood watch sign.
Okay.
And then at the other end,
there would be
the same
one.
Thing.
Yeah. On the other end, you know, this has a pole already, so we would utilize that. And the other end, it might have to put a pole in. It would probably be located similarly, right next to the path.
It's also along the one of the issues I also see is that during the summer, or not summer, but during the fall, you'll have football games that go on. And some of those kids that do walk going through there, I mean, it's black and white. If you're saying they can't walk there after 10 o'clock and you do create an ordinance, you know, like, essentially it kind of goes against their ability to use that pathway because you're telling them after 10 o'clock you need to find an alternative route.
But yeah, we'll get to everybody's.
But there's schools over there.
We'll go around and get everybody's.
And all the walkers sign warnings.
Yeah, well, we have signs like that at McRae Park, and they're regularly ignored. I mean, the police aren't going to give that a very high priority if they get a call. So I am having a hard time understanding what the net effect is going to be then.
I think it's just a way it was a question asked of could we do it, and that's why we're here.
Okay, all right.
Are there currently in this, you know, other parts of the city, are there current paths like this in other neighborhoods that have closed signs for hours, yeah. Or is this the only one where?
The only place that has some hours that might be pathways are at parks.
Well, yeah, I just didn't know if there was like on a public.
No.
Essentially a sidewalk. This would be
usually,
the only one.
Usually the requests we get are to close them.
To close them as in like putting.
Like completely remove them. And that's usually not supported by staff.
So when this was put in, did the city put this in or was it the developer?
It was a development requirement. Yeah.
And that was a requirement by the city to put it in?
Yeah. Well, it could have been. I mean, this was done in, I remember the date, the late 80s. I don't remember. I don't know if it was a requirement of the city or the developer just wanted the pathway. But usually if the city doesn't get, our standards now are to have nor more than 600 feet spacing between accesses. So if there's, you know, if a road can't be constructed, we would look at a pathway as an alternative if there's right-of-way or slope issues or some barriers to getting a full road, then we would require a pathway now. I don't know what it was like back then.
So if this was put in by the developer, then it was part of the plans. Mm-hmm. And so everybody knew about it, or should have.
Yeah, back then.
Particularly if they bought a house there or near there.
Yeah, it's been there since the subdivision way of the houses.
Is it, does it exist on an easement, or is it public property? Does it exist between parcels?
I think it's on an easement.
Oh, it's on an easement. Yeah. So the property line
is
runs
right
down the middle of the path?
And yeah, and there's usually it's like a 10 or a 12 foot easement.
Okay, and the city holds the easement?
Pardon?
The city holds the easement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it appropriate to ask a question of the requester?
Sure.
Is it you?
That's me.
In the request that I have, it's about your dog.
Okay.
I mean that's I think what you said, right? That you wanna keep the dog from barking at night.
Correct.
Have you had complaints from neighbors about the dog?
I have. Within a month of buying the house and moving in, I had to talk to the city of Salem police because I had a noise violation given to me, and talking with them, I'm completely within my rights. We're not doing anything illegal with the dogs. They, as it is right now, we've tried shock collars and everything we can to keep them from barking, but as kids and people go up and down the path, they get taunted, they get, you know, talked to, and all sorts of things. We keep them in as much as possible as it is for doing that, but you know, letting them out to do their business and in the evenings or whatever, I just feel bad for my neighbors. I have to deal with the barking. I'm not the only one with dogs on the path as well, but I mean, it just trying to be considerate to the neighbors is what brought this all along.
So. Got it. Thank you.
So I guess, is it okay to now let the questioners or everybody have a chance to say something?
Well,
I would ask that you please be respectful of everybody else's opinions and questions and concerns, because I mean, we're here to kind of try to, you know, find an answer, a solution, and I want people to be comfortable saying what they need to say, so please be considerate of everybody. Yeah, so.
Of course, yeah.
I guess
do we? Sorry, one question. So when we go around, you'll have to state your name and address, and then is there a time limit for each speaker?
Usually there's 3 minutes, but it's up to you guys. I mean, we've got lots of time.
Okay.
It's up to you guys.
Okay, so we'll just, I guess we can start with you if you just state your name.
Sure. David Schmidt. I live at 1928 Ptarmigan Street, Northwest. Well, I appreciate what Mark and his family are trying to do with the dog barking and trying to minimize things that trigger them. I feel that this solution really doesn't address the core of the problem, which is that when the dogs are in the yard, when people walk by minding their own business, not aggravating or trying to antagonize the dogs, they bark. They do so, at least in my opinion, in its aggressive manner. One of them has a fairly deep bark, and I know from talking to people that come from the other end of the walkway from towards our house, there's some of the older people, if you will, and I guess I'm one of them, was right here, who said they were afraid to walk on that path because of what they perceive as the dog's aggressive behavior or the loudness of the barking. There's other people with small children that won't walk along there either. I don't have numbers, I'm not trying to get into, you know, volume or quantification here, but I think the dogs bark when they're there, and that it's not just a problem at night. It's a problem whenever they're there. And it's not just people that walk by, it's people that are in their yard. They will bark until those people either pass on the pathway or are out of their yard. I think that trying to close the park, the walkway, to deal with what to me is the core problem is not where the focus needs to be. And while this is the first I've heard about shock collars and things, I personally have not witnessed Mark or his family at least verbally interacting with the dog. That may have happened, I'm not saying it hasn't. But trying to curb their behavior and train them to not do this, hopefully that's been done in addition to shock collars and anything else that's been attempted. I think to put the burden on the public to not be able to use that path is not fair to the neighborhood, the public parkway or the sidewalk after all. I think that, as somebody has already said here, it's not an enforceable rule. I think the expense of the signage, even though it may be minor, and hopefully using the pole at our end as well as the other end, I just think it's an expense that doesn't need to be made when the real issue, and a more total, complete issue, a solution to the problem, is controlling the dog's behavior and how they respond to normal foot traffic and other activities around them. I don't think that, and I guess my last point would be, you can say what you will about visual clutter, but I think having more signage at the end of the street, in each end of the sidewalk on two different streets, just kind of starts to make it like something maybe we don't want as a neighborhood along that pathway.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Dale Clausen, and so we live on 1791 Sunburst Terrace, so it'd be the other way, and the pathway is adjacent to our backyard. I'd wanted to listen to other people's comments first, but since I'm sitting here, I'm not going to repeat what Dave said. I think he said things well, and I'd be in agreement with what he said. I think some of the unique things that we would view is there probably, like during the summertime, there may be hundreds of people literally walking through there. You kind of got to be a unique neighbor to, you know, we enjoy it. We want it to be a welcoming place, a welcoming neighborhood, and a welcoming pathway. So those kinds of things, you know, barking dogs, when I see an older person or younger kid scared, you know, that is a concern. I do view it as two different issues, similar to what Dave says. Specifically, I don't know that we would be opposed to the sign. I think that, you know, Mark came and talked to us and you know, over the year, and we lived there over 20 years, and over the years, you know, we have seen kids gather there on the bridge to drink and party and do different things. And so from that standpoint, you know, I could see where a sign might be a prevention or at least a cause to call the police if you wanted, and, you know, and prevent that kind of thing. I'm not aware that those things have happened recently, but certainly they have over the years that we've lived there. But it's a unique pathway. It really is. It's like people walking through your backyard. And so you know, we tend to enjoy it. We enjoy the neighbors coming. We want it to be a welcoming kind of a place. I can also see other perspectives as like, hey, this is my property. I can do with it what I want. I understand that too. I'm just saying that this pathway in this neighborhood is unique, and it affects, you know, I'm really surprised about the turnout, but you know, literally many people will be running through there early in the morning. They'll be running, they'll be enjoying time with family walking through there. You can't see it very well here, but the creek runs through our backyards, and it's a pleasant creek. It's running water, makes, you know, pleasant noise, and so a lot of people will stop at that bridge and just look both ways. So I guess summarize, somewhat neutral on closing it, because I can see some positives and negatives. I would see closure kind of being a separate issue from the dog issue.
Guess I'm next. I'm Ron Moore. I live at 1835 Cloudburst Avenue Northwest, which is up the hill from the pathway. My wife and I use the pathway quite regularly, daily almost. We walk quite a bit. In fact, we were walking it this morning at 9 o'clock, and I'm sorry, your name?
Mark.
Mark's dogs, two dogs, not one dog, two dogs, were quite prevalent, let's say. And one of them is quite fiercely aggressive. I wasn't worried about it per se. I've been around dogs enough. I didn't feel the threat, but the dog was definitely threatening. If I had my grandkids with me, it would have been a different story. But so this is at 9 o'clock in the morning. So if we're going to close it at 9 o'clock at night, using this scenario, looks to me like then we should close it at 9 o'clock in the morning. Same thing happens. The same issue happens. So I'm in agreement with.
Dave.
I'm in agreement with Dave. I'm in opposition to it. Just feels like my using the pathway and causing Mark's dogs to bark, I'm all of a sudden the guilty party. That's the way I'm feeling. I feel like, well, all of a sudden I'm being the bad guy here and your dogs are barking, and now I'm the bad guy because I made them bark. So I feel that way a little bit. The other scenario that I would think about a little bit, and I'll just share it with you, because I thought about this for quite a while. So if I take my child to Safeway shopping and my child continues to throw fits and disturbs everybody in Safeway, then I think I'll ask all the people to quit shopping at Safeway from 6 to 9 so I can take my kid there and go shopping. That's what I feel this is a little bit like. You know, the dogs are dogs, and they will be trained. They can be trained. I've had several dogs in my life, and I've trained those dogs when they misbehave, when they needed to be restricted from activities, they quit doing it. Sorry to hear that the shock collars don't work. I have a dog now that favorite dog of mine. I still see her quite a bit. I hunt with her, but she was not a good dog in town, so she now lives on 50 acres. Couldn't have her in town anymore. So I understand also the concept that we treat our animals as our family members. It's hard to separate ourselves, but sometimes that's necessary. So I'm opposed to it. And it just, that's my, and I agree with everything Dave said. So I'll just be quiet. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, my name is Wayne Smith. I'm Ron's neighbor. I live up on Cloudburst also. I walk through the pathway every day with my two dogs, and have come in contact with the dogs in question. And they are big and loud, and you know, I have my dogs, which don't bark at all, and I walk through and just listen to their dogs. I guess the reason I'm here tonight looking at the whole scenario, it doesn't seem like it's going to solve the problem. Closing it at night. I'm assuming there's been no studies for traffic at night versus the day. I would think there's more traffic during the day when the dogs are done than there are at night. So I really don't see what closing the pathway down at night is going to do. I also have friends that are early morning runners that they're going to keep running. I've talked to them about it. So, and I agree with everything everybody else has said. So I'm against putting signage up. I think it's a waste of time and money. That's all.
My name is Charles. I live at 2035 Popcorn, which is just to the left on this image. I've lived there for coming on 5 years now, I think. That's how long I've been in the neighborhood. So I'm opposed to this just from a philosophical standpoint. I think when I first inquired, it's like, what's the problem we're trying to solve? And now hearing about it, I can certainly understand and respect that you're trying to be a good neighbor and you've got some issues with animals. Closing a public access point to try and solve that just doesn't make sense to me, to be honest. If we had the kids loitering at the, there's another path further down that has a similar kind of issues where the kids will loiter on the bridge and do stuff they shouldn't, but that's an anti-loitering sign, don't loiter, right? It's not a close it, it's like anti-loitering traffic situation. This isn't, the previous property owner also had dogs, and they were, I think they were smaller, but they were also pretty aggressive and scary for kids too, and yeah, things like that. So this isn't necessarily a new problem, it's just we're coming to it here. I think there's other ways for the property owner to address it. The fence in that area is a relatively low chain link fence, for example. A solid wooden fence would probably, I don't know if it would make a difference or not, but that's an idea. Things like that, rather than kind of push the problem back to the public. So I'm opposed.
I also, those dogs you're talking about that used to be there, I adopted one of those dogs, and he never barks. Where he used to bark all the time along that fence. So.
He was very aggressive. He didn't just bark. He would,
he would chase.
Fence.
Yeah.
We're good friends today.
Unnoticeable.
But I don't know if you noticed my dog. The dog that used to be there now. He's very, very calm.
I'm Mark. I live at 1939 Popcorn on the street. And I started all of this asking the question if it was possible. One, it's a privacy issue. It's a safety issue. In the wintertime, that path is underwater by a couple inches. It is rather good pathway right now, but if it had any edges popping up or any potholes or anything in it, it's very dark in the wintertime at nighttime. You can't see anything through there. Trying to come up with solutions to try to be a better neighbor. Dogs are territorial. They are going to bark at people along the fence. People come up and talk to them and pet them all the time. They go through there with sticks and run it along the fence. The kids scream at them. We deal with all sorts of things. We tried bark collars. We're trying a new thing here that once we get it to also try to work on dog barking issues. But I measured the distance to go around to Satara and back around, it's less than 0.2 miles to walk around it. So I don't feel like it's that ridiculous to ask people to walk around when it's that short of a distance. If you're going on a walk, go for a walk. So we are working with the dogs trying to do that. I don't lead the dogs out all day. Like it's basically to let them out to go do their business, run around a little bit. If they start barking at people, we're usually out there calling them in right away. I've dealt with kids on the bridge sitting there smoking late in the evenings, stuff like that. So that's where I came up with. I'm open on the hours of use. I'm actually usually walking my dogs around 9-10 o'clock at night, and I rarely see anyone out there as it is. So
thank you.
My name's Anthony Texera. I live at 1763 Sunburst. I do see where you're coming from on that, Mark, and I feel for you on that. I have a hound that was just dropped on me as a gift that I never asked for, and yeah, so she bays. So I can completely understand trying to control that. But where the issue I have on this is because having young children that live in the neighborhood, when I send, like, my daughter has one of her best friends lives directly behind her, and so she tries to go to her house. Well, I can't send her over the creek in the middle of the winter. It's too cold, but I do feel comfortable enough to let her have her independence as well to go over there. And there's been times when she's coming, you know, scared to stay the night at someone's house, but yet we'll all go across if I have to go and get her and use that bridge. There's also been nights where, you know, I have friends over there on the other side where you shouldn't be driving, and let alone, you know, you barely, I mean, you're walking home late at night, you know, you've had too many to drink, so you feel comfortable going through that way. So to reduce that access, I mean, it really takes away from what's been there. And I also know that, like I said earlier, at the football games, I've seen a lot of people after the football games coming through the neighborhood. So it is a very active neighborhood. And in that sense, I think that's one of the things that was, gives it its charm, is that you always see your neighbors out there walking with their dogs and everything. Yeah, you know, and so we've seen that, like the beautiful honeysuckle you have growing back there. And I mean, all different hours of the day, you can find people walking. I mean, in front of my house, I see it. And I know partly is we have a lot of successful people over there, doctors, attorneys, you know, or doctors and police officers. And who's to say if they get off at midnight that they shouldn't be allowed to, you know, walk their dog through that same place with that same access. So I guess that's where my issue comes, is it's knowing though too that the kids, you never know what they're going to be at school for, but I also understand that if, you know, they're doing those kinds of issues, that's a parenting issue, not so much a where they're doing it issue. Like, it should be where's the parent more than it is them being on the bridge. So that was my concerns on that.
Thank you.
I'm Diana Lonick. I live at 1795 Sunburst Terrace. And I'm kind of opposed to closing it too, for all the reasons that have been stated. One that I will mention that's kind of sticking in my head is it's not the only pathway in the neighborhood. There is a pathway that goes from the upper part that's going to take you, nope, it's the one that takes you up to Chapman Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so are we going to set a precedence in closing this one down, and then we can close that one down so students now can no longer take the pathway to get up to their school because somebody has dogs that are barking. They've had dogs that are barking there too. Cosby, he was out, he let people walk through. I also know that when I purchased my home in Sunburst Terrace 22 years ago, I evaluated, do I want to live here? I've got a right of way from the city that goes through my backyard. Do I want to buy this house? Is this the house for me? So I appreciate your thoughts for the residents, but
doesn't the school have closure hours anyway? Were you allowed to be on the property?
I'm just saying other people will say we can't have people going up through the steps that way because it upsets my dog. So the pathway's been there.
It's been there a long time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Wanick, and I live at 1795 Sunburst, two houses up from the entryway to the path. And I'm a senior, and I walk the neighborhood every day. I'm retired, and I see a lot of people out there enjoying the pathway in all hours. And I walk in the winter, and I have had no trouble walking through there to the bridge and across and cutting into Ptarmigan. So it's a natural creek way there. It's pretty. There's a lot of amazing things with Glen Creek running through there. And the people that have property that borders the creek, you've got a nice natural feature in your backyard. So putting restrictions on that cut through just eliminates a lot of you know, people to get there, you know, in the evening, especially in summer, fall, and spring, that want to walk through there maybe at 10 at night. You know, they're just taking an evening walk with their families or something. And yeah, your property, Mark, has bordered on right on that right away through there. I'm thinking try a new fence. I know it's your expense, but if you can get an 8-foot fence, something that's legal with the city, just get some height and get it away from the path a little more into your yard. When your dogs are out, yeah, they'll come to the fence. That's a natural thing to do. But there's a buffer. There's more of a buffer than your chain link that's, you know, maybe 4 feet high. I've lived in the neighborhood 22 years, so I wouldn't like to see our restrictions on something as nice as a feature that is in our neighborhood. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Jasmer. I live at 1929 Ptarmigan, which is directly across from the north side of the bridge, where it comes out there at the corner of Moonbeam and Ptarmigan. And we moved in there 17 years ago. We liked that neighborhood because more people walk there than drive. It's a peaceful, quiet, nice dead-end street. And because it's a dead-end street, that is like your only access across without going on down and around. Nobody likes to walk down the street and back the way they came. It's nice to make a loop. I'd like to bring something to your attention. You mentioned something about crossways at 600 feet. Move another one down Ptarmigan.
Yeah.
I want another bridge. Down Ptarmigan to the east.
Yeah.
Because that's probably 8 blocks on down there before we get anywhere. Yeah, right about there. Beautiful.
Get your neighbors to
absolutely
grant an easement.
We should have one down there. Because the one that's up the street at Barling, that goes over to West Barling, it goes into a dead end. Yeah, once again, it crosses right there.
Yeah,
it crosses across, but then West Barling doesn't come back when we can get back into our neighborhood. So whenever you go there, you end up backtracking back out of it again, or going up the hill and around on the Glen Creek, which most people like to stay in the bottom. We've got a lot of old people that walk in our neighborhood. I've got a good friend down the street, Bill, who used to be an attorney. He walks every morning in the dark. He had chemotherapy for leukemia a couple of years back. He's beat it, but he walks 5 miles every morning. And he comes across that bridge and he goes all over the neighborhood. And I leave for work at 5:30 and I almost always say hi to him on the way to work. So there's people out already at that hour. And I have dogs too, and I got turned into the cops when I first moved into my neighborhood because there's so many raccoons and skunks and rats and coyotes and deer and turkeys and other things that will set up your dog. And even if there's not people there, those critters are still going to walk across that bridge and use it too.
Yeah.
There is enough natural stuff there. Fortunately, I got one problem 17 years ago, and I've never been bothered by it again. I make a point of bringing my dogs in at night. And yes, they'll go out, and I have a nice tall solid board fence. She'll bark at the neighbors with kids if they walk down the sidewalk once in a while, but not excessively. So no, we like the access. It's a beautiful little bridge, and it's a beautiful spot to stop in the middle of it and look at the water. And I don't see, if it's unenforceable, what's the point? You know, it just doesn't make sense. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
No comment.
If I may make a point very briefly. So, to Mark's point, the dogs are allowed to bark, and there is a city, you know, if it's ordinance, if that's the right word, or rule or law, that they can bark, they're on your property, people walk by, they're allowed to bark. And then there's I think in that SR, whatever it is, there's an amount of time that they're allowed to bark. I think over time, part of the issue here has been not always the volume, but in addition, it has been the amount of time that the dogs bark past the time when whatever's bothered them has moved on, or is not there, at least visually anymore. And I think that might have been the point that Mark was trying to make when he said that the police said he was within his rights. Yes, they can bark. It's the amount of time that aroused concern. Part of the concern initially was the amount of time that they spent barking when there didn't seem to be anything there to bother them, if you will.
I would say at this time, do any of the commissioners have any questions for the public?
I have a comment, because I do a lot of alley walking in the section where I live. And people that do have wooden fences, it doesn't stop the dog from barking, okay? Mm-hmm. And I quite often use alleys. And also, when I take my walks, there's a bridge on Court Street between 18th and 19th, or 18th and 20th. And I do the very same thing. I always stop at that bridge and pay attention to what's going on there. And I just find that that's a very relaxing place to be, and I gather that's what's going on here. And I'll tell Mark that I kind of envy you having a dog that barks outside. My dog only barks inside the house, and believe me, I'll trade you. And, you know, so that's one thing. And I can see this being an issue to also then for any alley that you have. I mean, what, we're going to start closing alleys? But I don't see that happening. So I just think that it's a problem that needs to be addressed, but not this way.
I have a question for the requester. Number of people have talked about not just the noise, but I guess feeling scared of the dog getting out of, I guess, jumping the fence or getting over the fence. Is that a risk? Is there a risk of the dog escaping the property?
Not that I think so, but...
How tall is the fence? 4 feet?
4 feet, probably, yeah.
I've got a comment. I live in a neighborhood where everybody has a dog. And one of them barks, they all bark. But it mostly is because the deer have come through or the raccoons have come through or whatever.
Right.
I don't know how you deal with that. I mean, we all try to help each other by calming our dogs down, but it's a tough one.
I'm not sure if the deer can read the the signs.
Oh, yeah. The raccoons or the
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Nate.
So, Mark, I have to say that good fences make good neighbors. So my perspective with five kids and nine grandkids, and everybody has dogs, it's possible for us to have more dogs than people at a family gathering. So I absolutely understand the reality of having dogs that are making you aware of the fact that somebody's there. But I will also tell you that they are trainable, and I can also tell you that a tired dog doesn't bark much. So your responsibility, from my perspective, is to get them out more and get them to exercise more, and I would put in a better fence.
I take him to the farm with me.
And the reality is that City Salem has a 6-foot height limit for a fence.
Okay.
And so that's and that's
like Ken said, I don't think it's gonna matter.
My fence is higher than that.
And I take him to the farm with me probably 2-3 days a week. And run them all I can.
Good. And yes, they are trainable.
I agree. Yeah. I'm working on it.
So,
but they're also territorial, and they're going to do that naturally as it is.
Yeah.
Almost all dogs will bark.
If they
think they're territorial
when there's people on the path. If the path wasn't there, no one would even know I had dogs.
Okay. So there's a simple solution. Buy another house.
All right. Are there any other?
Just kidding. Okay.
Any other questions or comments from the commissioners? No.
I guess the only question I would have is, what would a sign that says no, you know, how would that sign be any different than a neighborhood watch? I mean, the neighborhood watch, as you can see, how many eyes are really out there watching all the time. That what difference would it make? I mean, if somebody's going to walk through there, they're going to walk through there. And it's, if it's not enforceable, I mean, look, we have signs in the parks that say, no camping, no sleeping. See how well those work out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and you guys kind of brought it up yourselves, is, you know, as a person is moving, they're probably, by the time a call is made and an officer showed up, the person's going to be long gone. It would be, you know, helpful to have that sign there if you were having a problem with people hanging out and doing stuff they're not supposed to be on the bridge, because they're probably going to be there if a call was made and an officer was available to respond. That's kind of why, you know, staff tries really hard now not to have these paths, but to have a road, because a road is a connection. It provides pedestrian access as well, but then there's more eyes on what's going on, and there's streetlights and all that stuff, that it tends to have less of an issue with people hanging out doing things they're not supposed to be doing. But we still will have a path every once in a while.
So the city now would not allow a developer to put in a path?
No, we allow it, but we try really hard to have a road instead. But if there's just not a way to put a road in, then a path would be the next best alternative, so people don't have to go so far out of the way.
I guess I misunderstood.
Yeah.
The paths were part of the reason we picked the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really like that part of the feel of the neighborhood. You know, it is what makes it special. I would not want to live in the middle of downtown. You couldn't make me do it. Your apartment complexes are putting up on First Street. No thanks.
All right, any other questions? Yeah.
Any signage would not be viewable at night when it's dark. So you'd have to remember, you'd have to be a very smart deer or a very smart resident who is approaching that sidewalk at night to remember the sign that they read hopefully during the day or might have seen at some point in their life on along the pathway said that it's closed at night. So I think that there's a complication here. Just, you know,
there's lights on both ends of the path. You'd see it.
All right, I think at this point, unless anyone has anything else, I think we're ready to, what's that?
We're gonna have a vote.
Are we able to make a decision tonight?
Yeah, you guys can decide if you want to support, deny, or modify.
Okay. So with how it's written on this memo, it says supporting it would essentially add the closure signs from, did we determine from 10 to 6 a.m.? 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.?
That's what, the request.
Okay.
So you could support that, deny it, or recommend a change in the hours.
Okay, so that's what the vote's is going to be, whether we propose, so, you know, deny.
Wouldn't there someone make a motion?
Yeah, no, I was just making sure that we were clear on what was in it, because there was some discussion on times and whatnot. So. Someone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we have a vote.
I would make a motion that we deny the request.
Second.
Any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Those opposed. Any abstentions? All right, motion to deny passes. All right, I guess on the action item, there are any other discussion items that we're gonna cover, Kevin?
I don't think so. We will be having a cat. Yes, go ahead.
Can we have a discussion on downtown area that the stoplights have a section where only pedestrians go through the intersection? that there's no turning of cars or anything else, because last week when I was walking home from basically UGM to my home, I almost got hit twice by people making turns and not looking at pedestrians. And I've noticed that quite a bit in the downtown area. And not only that, but people, that if they're going catty corner, they have to go through two lights. And I just really think that we need to close the intersections and let pedestrians through instead of having it so that people are turning and doing other things when cars are in there in the downtown area. And I'd like to see some sort of study done or something about, is that feasible? Because I walk downtown all the time, and I just am appalled at some of the driving that see down
there. We can have it as a discussion item at one of our CATSI things. Yeah. I can talk about, we are looking at doing a pedestrian lead phase, pedestrian lead interval, which means
I've seen those in other places.
Yeah, the pedestrian signal comes on first a couple seconds before cars to get the pedestrian out and establish whose right it is to be crossing.
Yeah, but I'd like to see the whole intersection close to cars.
I can come back and talk about that.
The city is doing timing for the lights in the city anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, we're going to be looking at the downtown progression, making sure it's more at a 20-mile-an-hour stuff. So that's coming up on our plate at some point.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, because council is concerned about ped safety, definitely, and so we're looking at some options to deal with that. And I can bring that up as an item, and we'll come with more information at a future CATSI.
Thank you.
Yep. Maybe sort of related to that, I share your frustration with drivers. I think we may live in the same neighborhood, in fact. The intersection at Center and 17th has, I know. But from a pedestrian standpoint, that spot, if you're not at the intersection to push the button, the little green cross guy doesn't come up. Mm-hmm. And then you have to wait for the entire cycle to go. I'm wondering, is there a reason why that crosswalk guy doesn't just always light up when it's not the turn arrow and when it's a green light, right? So that if you walk up on it when the crossing man is active, you can just cross the intersection.
Yeah, generally, if the signals are timed to, the minimum time for a direction is controlled by the pedestrian on how long it takes for them to cross, and then like 7 seconds of walk that's given, plus the don't walk would allow somebody to step off the curb at the beginning of the flashing don't walk and make it all the way across. Mm-hmm. Sometimes during certain times of the day, we're running the signals fairly quickly to try to serve all the directions instead of letting people wait. And if the ped time is at the minimum, it won't serve. But on some intersections like Mission and Liberty, where Liberty has so much green time and Mission waits a long time, if you come up and you're midway and there's lots of time to serve a ped, you can't hit the button and it will come up with a walk. So it just depends on what we're trying to do at the individual intersection.
That's not quite what I mean. I mean, like, if there's not somebody there to push that button, the pedestrian crossing never lights up.
Yeah, and the reason that is that if the signal doesn't think there's a pedestrian there, it might make a short time. If there's not a lot of vehicles coming and there's no ped, then it has to have a minimum time to cross.
Okay.
It will go short and might serve the other direction quicker. Mm-hmm. So it's just trying to be as efficient with the signals as we can.
Center's a high traffic street.
Yeah.
So is 17th, for that matter.
So, I mean, what I'll do is, since these are a couple of signal questions, I'll have the signal engineer come.
Well, I have lots of questions.
I know a lot of everything, but not a lot about anything. So
I would just like a list of which stoplights are not timed, because I just, in driving, I noticed that they are all timed.
Downtown is pre-timed, yeah. So it's
commercial
not,
all the way down.
All of the downtown is pre-timed.
I went from downtown out to Trader Joe's and never missed a light.
Yeah, once you get outside of downtown, so downtown is run basically about a 60-second cycle, 55 to 65 seconds, and then when you get out of downtown, you get to some of the busier intersections. There are 130-second cycles right in that area. Kind of double.
And so if you're trying to get across Commercial Street to catch the bus, you're out of luck.
It depends on when you arrive, but yes. No. But we're working with transit to do transit priority on Lancaster, so we're doing some stuff there. But I'll bring the signal engineer in and grill him.
Okay.
Put on your tennis shoes and run.
Unless we have anything else, could I get a motion to adjourn?
I agree, we adjourn.
Right. I'll second that.
Adjourn.
Thank you.